Welcome to installment 58 of Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Rambam. Today's commandment is positive commandment 169, the commandment involving the lulav, the shaking of the lulav, the palm branch, and the other four species on the holiday of Sukkot. The Rambam indicates that this mitzvah is learned from the book of Leviticus, chapter 23, verse 40. And he quotes the verse that on the first day, meaning the first day of the holiday of Sukkot, you must take for yourself a fruit of the citron tree, pri etz hadar, meaning an esrog, kapes tmarim, a palm branch, anaf eitz aves, myrtle branches, and arve nachal, willows, of a type of willow which grows near a brook. And these four types are taken together and shaken, and thereby fulfilling the mitzvah of the dalet minim of the four kinds. The Rambam indicates that this mitzvah was fulfilled as a biblical commandment at the times of the temple, all 7 days of the holiday of Sukkot. And each one of these days, they would go and encircle the altar and go around one time each of the days of Sukkot. However, since the temple has been destroyed, our biblical requirement of the four kinds exists only on the first day of Sukkot. The other days, we still go and take the four kinds. But this is because of the established custom of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who established that we must go and take the four kinds every day of Sukkot for all 7 days as a zecher lemikdash, as a remembrance of the times of the Beis HaMikdash, to the temple in Jerusalem, whereupon the four kinds were taken every day of the holiday. Other interesting practices took place at the times of the temple. For example, willow branches were placed on either side of the altar, and they hung over the altar to make a memorable sight for everyone involved. Jews throughout the ages have been very careful to go and make sure they get a mehudir, a very beautiful set of the four kinds. Even though sometimes it might involve a great expenditure, nevertheless, the Medrash says that not only is the lulav something which you will go and get the money back, but actually all expenditures for Shabbos and Yom Tov and Rosh Chodesh, the Jewish first day of the new moon, all of these expenditures which a person spends will all be returned. Any money will actually go and come back to him. Therefore, it says that the more money you spend, the more money God gives you to spend during the year. And actually, the Medrash goes even further. That not only will you not lose any money, but through going and fulfilling the mitzvah of the four kinds in a beautiful fashion, you will even get more money. As the Medrash says, that look at what happened at the times of the Exodus from Egypt. You went and took some branches of hyssop, which were almost free, very inexpensive. And in the schus, in the merit of this commandment, fulfilling this commandment, look what I gave you, said God. You got all of the spoils at the splitting of the sea, all of the money and the riches that the Egyptians left there, all of the riches of the mighty kings, Sichon and Og, and all of the riches of the 31 kings of the land of Canaan, all for the mitzvah of the simple hyssop that you went and dipped in the blood and sprinkled on the doorposts of your house. Even more so, says the Medrash, when you actually go and spend money to get a beautiful esrog and a beautiful lulav, certainly you will go and get tremendous reward. And thereby we will understand that through the ages, many of our sages and tzaddikim have been very, very careful to get a beautiful esrog and a beautiful lulav. As the famous story goes of Rav Zusha of Anipola, who went and always was very careful to get a beautiful esrog. And one year he decided he wanted an especially beautiful one, but he didn't have enough money. So what did he do? He took his tefillin, his phylacteries, which were also very beautiful and very expensive, and he went and he sold them, and he used the money to go and buy a beautiful esrog. And during Sukkot, he didn't put on the tefillin anyway, as the practice is. So therefore, he had the money. But when it came after Sukkot, he would have to go and find the money from somewhere else to go and buy a new pair of tefillin, because the esrog couldn't be sold after Sukkot. It was no longer worth anything as a mitzvah. Rav Zusha's wife found out that he had sold his tefillin, and she knew where the money was going to come from for a new pair of tefillin. It would come from the money which was desperately needed for the house. In a rage, Rav Zusha's wife took the esrog and bit off the tip of the esrog, therefore making it invalid and destroying the whole use of the esrog. Rav Zusha looked at this esrog, the most beautiful esrog he had ever seen, totally destroyed, totally useless for the holiday. And Rav Zusha controlled himself and decided he would not go and yell at his wife. He would go and control himself. Later that night, it was revealed to Rav Zusha in a dream that the merit that Rav Zusha earned through going and controlling his temper and not yelling at his wife was even greater than the merit he would have deserved from going and taking the lulav and esrog, and going and taking this beautiful esrog and fulfilling the mitzvah of the four species. Nevertheless, we see from this story the tremendous self-sacrifice that people went through to make sure they went and got a beautiful esrog and a beautiful four species. Jewish writings often refer to the rich symbolic significance of this mitzvah of taking the four kinds. one of them centers around the function of the lulav and esrog to go and inspire its performers with the idea of joy, with simcha. This is in fact alluded to in the Rambam's description of the mitzvah, that one is mesameach, one rejoices with the taking of the four kinds in the holiday of Sukkot. The Chinuch explains this in great depth, and says that why do we have so many different types of mitzvahs? There are 613 mitzvahs. Why were we given so many? And the Chinuch explains that God wanted us to refine our thoughts and our emotions and our feelings, that they should be constantly directed to Him, that we should be constantly concentrating and directing our attention to our Creator. And therefore, we have many different mitzvahs, so that in many different ways we should go and purify many different parts of our body and mind to go and be directed towards our Creator. He points out, however, that when is the time that a person has to be most careful about directing his mind and his thoughts and his emotions towards his Creator? As a time of great joy. For example, during Sukkot, everyone is in a tremendously good mood because it's the time of the harvest. Their riches and the fruits of their labor from the entire year of working are suddenly coming to fruition, and therefore they're in a great state of joy. Even without the holiday, they would naturally be in a state of joy. And when a person is in a state of joy, we see that joy and simcha can go and take over a person's entire thought process and entire set of emotions. Therefore, it could be that at a time that a person is just in a joyous state, that his joy would be connected with things other than being a Jew, and other with holy things. Therefore, the Chinuch says, we went and were given the mitzvah of the four species, that all of the four are an apparent delight to the eye, and the person is besimcha, his joy is simply upon seeing them. And therefore, we can go and channel our joy into the performance of a mitzvah. He points out also that the four species specially correspond to different parts of the body to indicate that our joy should totally penetrate our being. The esrog, for example, is in the shape of a heart. So therefore, we indicate that our thoughts and our feelings, as indicated by a heart or the esrog, should be totally devoted to God. So too the lulav, the palm branch, which resembles a spine being long and thin, just as the spine supports the whole body, our entire body should be devoted towards God. So too the myrtle. The leaves of the myrtle represent eyes, as they're in the shape of eyes. And our eyes, of course, can go and tempt us to be dragged after certain things which are apparently very delightful, and perhaps are contrary to the purposes of Judaism. Therefore the myrtle reminds us that our eyes should be directed only towards holy things. And finally the willow, the long thin leaves of the willow are in the shape of lips. And therefore, even at a time of simcha, where we might be tempted just to go and remove ourselves completely from the constraints and the fabric of Judaism, we should say, even in such times, we should speak only words of holiness. And therefore, the willow, the lips, and the myrtle, representing the eyes, and the lulav, the spine, and the esrog, the heart, indicates that our entire being should be involved in Judaism. This idea of simcha also explains another medrash. We say in the Medrash, why is it that the Jews go and come out with these big lulavim, these big long palm branches in the holiday of Sukkot? The Medrash explains that after having gone through the high holy days of Rosh Hashanah, and the days of judgment, and finally after Yom Kippur, the Jews finally come out on Sukkot with their long lulavim representing spears, as if they've come out in victory, as if there's a victory parade after the days of judgment and the days of question of the early days of Tishrei, of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. We come out in our, so to speak, battle formation, holding our lulavim as a sign of victory. And the Tikkun Zohar explains that why is it that we go and need such a sign at such a time, and it explains that the forces of evil can always claim, how are the Jews better than the other nations? Even if we say that they're serving God with all of their hearts, perhaps they're only doing it because of fear of punishment, only out of yira, out of fear. Perhaps if they were in a time of joy, they wouldn't do it. So therefore, in the time of Sukkot, which is a time of simcha, a time of joy, we indicate our full victory over anything which can go and oppose us and our connection to God. And this is the sign of Netzachon, of victory, represented by the lulav in the holiday of Sukkot. The esrog is the first one listed in the verse of the four kinds. What is the greatness of the esrog? One explanation is that the esrog grows through an entire year's cycle, that all of the seasons of the year, in spite of their varying temperatures and varying climates, serve to go and not only and slow down the growth of the esrog, but serve to strengthen the growth of the esrog and to make it more and more beautiful as it goes through many variations. This can go and explain another medrash, that the four kinds are compared in the medrash to Avram, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, and similarly to the four matriarchs, Sarah, Rivka, Rebecca, Leah, and Rachel. How do we see this? The Esrog represents Abraham and Sarah. How do we see this? That just as the Esrog grows through all different seasons, and the longer it sits on the tree, the more beautiful it gets, so too we saw Abraham and Sarah, that through their entire life, even their old age, they became more and more beautiful and more productive as they went on in time, similar to the Esrog. The Lulav corresponds to Isaac, that just as Isaac was bound, kofus, on the altar in the story of the Akedah, of the binding of Isaac, so too the leaves of the Lulav are bound together, as it says in the book, in the verse, Kapeis Tzmarim, that they're bound together, the leaves come in duplicate. The two leaves are stuck together on each front of the lulav. So too the lulav is represented by Rebecca, by Rivka. But Rivka had two sons, had twins, one who was righteous and one who was wicked. So too on the palm branch we have needles, which are very, very sharp, representing the evil. And so too we have beautiful leaves representing the tzaddik. The myrtle branches, the hadassim, correspond to Yaakov, to Jacob, and to Leah. The correspondence is in the fact that the hadassim have many, many leaves. And so too Jacob and Leah both had many, many children, the tribes of the Jewish people. Finally, the arava, the willow, is the hardest one to go and keep for a long period of time. The willow is constantly withering and dying. So too Joseph and Rachel both did not go and live as long as their counterparts. They died in a very early age, comparative with their other contemporaries. And therefore they correspond to the arava. A final famous Medrash explains that the fourth kind corresponds to the four types of Jewish people. That we see that an Esrog has both a good taste, it can be eaten, and it has a lovely smell. The willow, on the other extreme, has neither a good taste nor a good smell. The palm tree, the lulav, has fruit, which of course has a good taste, but the palm has no smell whatsoever. The hadas has the other quality, that even though it has no taste, it has a very lovely smell. This, the Medrash says, corresponds to four types of Jewish people. Taste, says the Medrash, corresponds to the study of Torah. And smell, says the Medrash, corresponds to the performance of mitzvahs, of the commandments. And therefore, says the Medrash, that the Esrog represents the type of Jew who has both. He studies the Torah, and he also does good deeds. The willow, on the other extreme, is the type of Jew who does not study Torah, has no taste, and does not have any sense of smell or fragrance. He does not perform the mitzvahs. The palm tree represents the type of Jew who has a taste, he studies Torah, but has no smell, does not perform the mitzvahs. The hadassim represent the opposite category, that they don't study Torah, it has no taste, but it has a lovely fragrance, like those people who perform mitzvahs. But the Medrash teaches us the real lesson here, that the object of the mitzvah of the four minim, of the four kinds, is to go and take all four categories of Jews, from the one extreme of the one who does all of the commandments and who learns the Torah, all the way down to the other extreme, to the person who doesn't study any Torah and does not perform mitzvahs, that on the holiday of Sukkot we must take all four kinds and join them together, baguda acha, in one strong bond. And when can we perform the mitzvah of the four kinds? Only when we have all four of the categories. That just as in the mitzvah, in the commandments of the four kinds, one cannot say a blessing, and one does not fulfill a commandment if one is even missing the lowly willow. So too in the Jewish people, even if we are missing those people, that segment of the Jewish people who does not have the taste and does not have the smell, does not have the study on Torah, and does not have the performance of mitzvahs, nevertheless, they are needed, they are an integral and essential part of the Jewish people, and we must always be together. And even though this is stressed on Sukkot, this is a lesson for the entire year. Thank you for calling Sefer HaMitzvahs, the daily portion. We hope to go and hear from you tomorrow.